All right, welcome back. Now, most of us have way more email than we know what to do with. A constant drip, drip, drip of emails just coming into our inbox. And this steady flow of emails eats away at our mental bandwidth and our attention, both of which could be put to better use if we redirected them towards deep work. Having said that, there are several strategies that you can put into place to deal with email and prevent it from crushing your focus and derailing your deep work efforts. Here they are, along with some recommended actionable insights for each strategy. Let's dive in. Number one, make people work harder to get in touch with you, right? Require people to work for your email address and avoid listing it publicly. So for instance, you know, you might have somebody reach out that you don't even know that wants to connect for coffee or pick your brain about blah, 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 blah. Now, you know, if these aren't the types of folks that you're looking to get attention from, to contact you, to reach out to you, because it won't lead to anything fruitful or doesn't contribute or support your goals, then why allow it into your life? So don't list your email and your information, your contact info in public places where you know anybody can get it and reach out to you, because it's just another avenue for distraction. So don't list your stuff publicly and have people filter themselves by having different emails or separate contact forms on your website if you've got one for different questions. If there's somebody who's trying to get in touch about interviewing you on a podcast, then you've got a separate page or a contact form for that. And you can automatically have it filtered so you know what's coming in. You know what that question is about. If somebody fills that out and sends you an email through your website from that contact form, then it's about press. It's press related stuff. So you can deal with that when you are ready to deal with that. But you don't want it to derail your deep work efforts. That's the point of it all. Number two, go the extra mile with your emails. Right? Reduce the back and forth of emails with a more systematic approach. For example, when I receive a request for a meeting or like a podcast interview, I don't just reply with, sure, I can do it. No. Instead, I have a more systematic approach. I try to predict what the exchange is going to look like and reply accordingly. So I might, instead of saying, sure, I can do it, and ending it right there, I might say, sure, yeah, I can do the interview. I can do it on Monday from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m., or I can do it on Thursday from 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. If neither of those times work for you, give me a call and we'll figure out a time that works for both of us. Boom, done. I immediately eliminated a couple of back and forth emails related to scheduling by just going the extra mile and thinking about what that exchange might look like. So predict what an exchange might look like and go the extra mile in your emails to close loops on conversations more quickly. And number three, just don't respond. You don't have to respond to every message, to every email, to every single time somebody is requesting something of you. That's essentially what emails are. They're just a well-organized list of questions and requests and tasks that other people are trying to impose upon you. So you don't necessarily have to respond to every email that you get. Now, how do you decide which ones to respond to and which ones not to respond to? Well, there's a three-part criteria that you can follow here. Don't respond to emails with any of the following qualities. First, if it's ambiguous or otherwise makes it hard for you to generate a reasonable response. Next, if it's not a question or proposal that's actually interesting to you. And finally, if nothing really good would happen if you did respond, and nothing really bad would happen if you didn't, then don't worry about it.